Now, Mr. Luker, would you let me know when I have 5 minutes left, please? Thank you. Because we are starting late, this will be 7 minutes long. It's great to be home. This is where my children were born, the Seattle area. We love it here. This is the world capital of not only Microsoft, but many other institutions like the Mariners, who are playing the Yankees tomorrow while we play basketball. We certainly do appreciate coming back up here. This is really the sort of the center of our hearts. Seattle, for some reason, we lived here for 10 years, and then now we've lived 14 years in Portland. And I grew up in Minnesota and Connecticut, and then Ambassador, and then Canada, British Columbia, and here, and Portland. And the Northwest is the greatest place besides all the other great places on God's good earth. And it's a magnet for great trends and good things. Fatburger just opened their first place in the Northwest in Issaquah. We were there only an hour and a half ago. Next to, within walking distance, only 300 feet away from, the only Krispy Kreme in the Northwest. Portland does not have one, though we have Saks Fifth Avenue. Anyway, I wanted to give you a lesson from the dump yard. It's much, much bigger than my personal experience this week, but it's something that it's about a lesson that is just a tiny piece of the biggest lesson that we can learn as human beings. I was trying to get rid of a lot of yard debris. I've been remodeling my yard, which had, after 12 years, come to be the worst block or the worst yard on the neighborhood. Everybody's really conscientious on our cul-de-sac about having a beautiful yard. And we had started that way. In the last 5 years, I've been running around doing other things, and it really had gotten bad. So I had taken everything, or a whole truckload of stuff. I got a new truck, and I took a truckload of stuff at 6 o'clock to Dan O'Brist's dump yard, trash center, where you can bring yard debris over off of Foster Road a few miles from my house, and it closes at 5. The guy was next to the chain link fence where the lock was, just kind of closing the gate, and he had a pickup right in front of me. He said, you know, I can't let you in. I work here. I can't let you in. The boss's wife would kill me. I can't do it. I was accepting. I wasn't going to condemn him for my being late. I said, oh, that's too bad. You know, I'd make it real quick, just trying to see how far I could get. And he said, no, I really can't. You know, he's about 30 years old and looked really kind of like a nice guy and working hard and everything. And I said, okay. And so he said, I'd really like to help you. And then he went back around the chain link fence, and I saw his truck kind of come near me, and I was going to back up because I've only had this about 3 weeks, and it's got a big stick in it. And, you know, I just want to be careful because I had a lot of heavy yard debris. And backing out, I was real slow, and this kid came up on a bicycle, probably a 12-year-old, maybe 13. And it's one of these little mini rod bikes, two-wheeler, of course. What's a bike? Two wheels. He said, sir, and I had my window rolled down, and I said, yeah, what can I do for you? And he said, can I have a quarter? You know, he's hitting me up for money, just like that, in a dump yard. And I said, a quarter? What would you do with a quarter? And I'm looking down on him in my Dodge Ram. You know, you get to look down on people when you have a Dodge Ram, especially if they're on a little bike. And I And he said, well, see, my bike's tire has a bulge in it. See, it's right here. And he pointed, and there was this little kind of bulge, looked like a hernia sticking out. And he said, I'm just going to take it down to the corner at the gas station and take the air out and put a card between the tire and the rim and pump it back up, and it'll fix it up, and I'll have my bike back. It'll be just great, though, I said. Okay, well, let me look here. And I got my wallet out. I looked in the wallet, and I had a dollar. I had no quarter. I said, I don't have a quarter. And then my conscience said, yeah, but you've got a buck. You know, give the kid the buck. And so I said, I have a dollar. Could I trust you with a whole dollar? He said, yeah, yeah. I said, have you ever given a dollar to anybody, just a stranger? He said, yeah, 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 I do that. Yeah, I do that kind of thing. Yeah, I do. Yeah. And he looked kind of sincere. I mean, he's a kind of a handsome, you know, can a 12-year-old boy be handsome? 13? Oh. There was a 12-year-old girl over here who said, yes. Whoa. I'm embarrassed. So, anyway, I said, so if I give you this dollar, will you give somebody else a dollar? Just a stranger? Would you do that? You know, somebody might need a dollar sometime. He said, yeah. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd do that. I said, here's a dollar. Here, you have this dollar. And he said, cool. That's nice. So I thought about it. I felt good. And I've been thinking about that since Mr. Luker asked me if I would talk for a half an hour. Is that 5 minutes left? And there is a big lesson. Jesus Christ was not against giving just plain old strangers what they called alms or just something they needed. Maybe you and I in our culture in the United States, looking at the guys with stuff written on signs like when we got off I-90 to go over to Krispy Kreme's. Just a minute, just before we proceed, I am told, I just asked some people in the back, what are Krispy Kreme donuts cooked in? Because someone rushed up to my wife before and said, do you know what those are cooked in? And my wife said, don't tell me. And I asked the Holiday family, and Mrs. Holiday said, I don't want to know. So if it's true that there is something, and this guy said, or lady, that is just a rumor, what they're cooked in, if it's bad stuff, you can let me know. But if it's not, we don't care. Okay? But back to the story. When we do good, like even somehow to a street person, in our culture, we tend to think that all street people are there because they are bad. They're morally deficient somehow. They shouldn't be there. They should be like us, successful with jobs or receiving Social Security. But in Jesus' day, a lot of people were down and outers. There are a lot of down and outers, and it's not wrong to just to help the person, like they do in Jerusalem even now. There are beggars that go around, and people just give them a dollar, two, or shekels. I was there a couple years ago. They do that. So this is, of course, a larger question of, should I be good and give to complete strangers? Just that have nothing to do with me and that nobody's going to judge if I don't give them anything for. Maybe these are people that need something from me that aren't very nice. Jesus, in this overall context, said in Luke 6, and this may be a parallel account in verse 38 of what is in the Sermon on the Mount. It may actually have been a part of the Sermon on the Mount, although many of these statements in Luke 6 are actually paralleled in statements in the Sermon on the Mount that we see in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But let's turn to Luke 6 and see this statement, which I've really known and you all know, and because your pastor, I'm sure, has read this to you many times in his ministry. He's used this. I know he lives by this, Mr. Luker, who's been a friend of mine, did it before he knew it. They invited me over to their house when I was 19 years old, 33 years ago, on South Orange Grove, when he was my first club director. He was a handsome young man then. This gorgeous wife. Anyway, it says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured back to you again." You know, if you look at that kid that really didn't need the quarter or a dollar, or the homeless, or somebody that needed something because they really don't need it, and you rationalize it in your own mind, or they could have done better in their lives. Why are they standing there on the corner with the sign? Not to say that we're going to be able to save the world. But if we measure people by this little yardstick of what's wrong with them, or why really I don't need to give much to them or anything to them, I'll just pass on. If there's an opportunity, and the world is so full of needs that, you know, you could go crazy trying to be God, which we're not. But if you measure the line in such a way toward other people that you don't wind up giving when you can give something, then guaranteed, God says, that same kind of measure is going to come back to you. Look at the words, how rich these words are. Give, and it shall be. You know who is saying this? This is the same person that was on top of Mount Sinai and said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make any images of anything in the heaven above. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy," you know, and so forth. "Thou shalt honor your father and mother," and so forth. This is the same person that says, "Give, and it shall be given to you." There's a law here, wouldn't you say? Is this not the law of God? Good measure. Good measure. What would be a good, you know? In other words, it's going to be given back to you. If you give, it's going to wind up coming back in a good measure. Not like God makes this deal. You give, and I'm going to give you. You give a dollar, I'll give you a penny. You give a dollar, I'll give you a nickel. You know, you're really, really good, I'll give you a dime. No, he says, and it shall be given to you good measure. You're going to be happy. It's going to be enough. Not only enough, he says, pressed down, shaken together. I don't understand that as an idiom in this context. Maybe it was, I suppose it's like this. When it's pressed down and shaken together, it's a blessing, it's a value where it's very dense. In other words, it's not all fluffed up with a lot of puffery. Right down there, you're getting a lot more for your value. It's like really, really heavy whole wheat bread instead of this real junky fluffy stuff, if you're into that kind of bread. Or, like when I went to the dump several times, I said, "Do I have to pay? What do I have to pay?" Well, you get, for a ton, you get, it's $15 if you have a ton. Well, I don't, you know, all this is mostly branches and leaves and stuff. And I said, "So I have to pay?" Well, you know, if you have a tray, it's still going to be $15. You know, and if the boss's wife wasn't here, and he honestly said that. The two guys did. If the boss's wife wasn't here, you'd get through for 10. I don't know what they do. But, so he said, "But you know, you might pack it down more." And I said, "Well, you know, I didn't think about that the first time I was through." So I got like three times more in for the same 15 bucks next few loads. because I stomped on it. I got up there on the truck and stomped on. And it was real dense. So it says here, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, more value. And then it says, and running over, which means there's lots and lots of it. It's more than you can have, you can handle. And then notice this. It says, why would Christ say this, and he's God, say this, unless there's a law here for us, his disciples, to actually be applying? And I'm telling you this, teenagers, and old teenagers, because this is what we're supposed to learn when we're young. This law. Then shall men give into your bosom. In other words, other human beings are going to want to give to you. You'll be in a position in life where other human beings, and human beings are what make this world go around. Did you know that? Yeah, we know that. I mean, human beings working together or not working together make what this thing is called civilization. But if you're a giver in this way, because God says, it says, it will be given back to you. Men will give back to you. And I'm not supposed to always tell stories, but I find that stories are so vivid. I know of a girl who really gives in school a lot, to the point where she's tired a lot, but she's in school. Hasn't graduated from high school yet, but she gives. And her friends really like her, but the whole student body elects her to offices. And then other kids, the higher the offices get, the other kids that are up-and-comers in the big school like that, they get real jealous, and they're throwing rocks at her behind her back, or not so much behind her back. But why do the votes come? She's giving. Likes the handicapped kids. She likes to go down at lunch and talk with the handicapped kids, the ones that have even mental problems, disabilities. It's interesting that men will give back into your bosom. They'll be your friends if you give. Now, was Christ talking about just people in the church, or was he talking generally? He's talking to people that would listen to him, disciples, but he's talking about God's universal law. And then remembering that it says, for the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you. Every day has opportunity to give. You know, we're here to have a wonderful weekend. And I'm so glad that Mr. Luker, after Portland, had a great weekend, and lots of you came down to Portland and from Spokane and so forth. Canada, we have Canadians here. See, they're strangers, I mean friends. I mean, they're from Canada. Anyway, they come, and we have an opportunity for a weekend. I'm so glad that after our Portland one, Mr. Luker decided to put one on up here. This is inspiring. This is good. Because we need more of these, not less. And we're going to have the opportunity to do good. And we're not even strangers in the sense of being outside of the faith. We're all in it. But, you know, sometimes we can even be like strangers to one another, especially if you're like a teenager in a group of kids and adults that you don't know. That can seem like being among just a bunch of strangers, even though you're all in the church. So when do you start giving? How do you give? What's a good time to start this giving? Well, right now, this weekend. You have a chance to fellowship after, get to know one another. You're going to have a potluck. You know, a potluck is where everybody brings their pot, and you hope you're lucky to get the good stuff, and there's a lot of good stuff. And you can, if somebody really wants you to eat their stuff, say, oh, you know, I made this over here, you know, and you look at it, you go, oh, really, I'm not interested in that. You can be kind and try a little of it. You can come to the dance. We're going to have a dance, right? And there's going to be for not just the teens, right? Is it just it's for everybody? Yeah, yeah, it's for everybody. And if I got 5 minutes left, 5 minutes left, good. So you have opportunities and to dance. You know, when you're a boy in ninth, tenth grade, maybe eighth or seventh, dancing's not a big deal. But to girls that age, that's a pretty good thing, dances to do. Now, so what you can do is give of yourself, even if you don't want to dance, you can give of yourself the opportunity for someone else to be able to dance. So go ahead and ask the girl or the girls, if it's your turn, if that's the way the dance works, then go ahead and ask them. And don't ask only the same good-looking guy or good-looking girl. Okay. And, you know, if the boy doesn't know how girls, if doesn't know how to dance very well, don't say anything mean. You can say, ouch, that hurt, if it did. That's okay. But girls, say something encouraging. That was good. That was a good job. You know, I'm still standing up. And boys, don't try to step on them. Now, we're going to have basketball tomorrow. You can come. First of all, come. Give it yourself. And then participate. Now, we're going to have basketball for people that are young and some older ones. I have not played basketball in 28 years until this last few months, a couple times. In 28 years, I had not played any basketball. Maybe it's 30, 28. Anyways, I look terrible. Really terrible. Someone came up to me just before. Are you playing basketball tomorrow? I said, yeah. Oh, you know, there was kind of this pained expression. He thought he was being nice. And so he said, well, there were two of them picking on me, actually. And they said, I just don't want to make you feel bad, you know, because this guy plays good basketball. And when my friend, I said, look, me playing basketball, you can't possibly hurt me any more than I just being there. I've hurt myself already. So I feel great being on a basketball court. And it's good. You can participate. Even if you're old and out of shape, it doesn't matter. Because hang your ego at the door. That's one of the things that you have to learn to do if you're going to be a giver in a variety of settings where it's uncomfortable for you to participate in giving. Hang your ego at the door. And, you know, this is hard for boys to do. Maybe girls, you don't have a hard time doing this. But it's hard for people to get outside their ego comfort zone, that means the self-comfort zone, and try something new because you're so afraid of looking as dumb as or as incapable as you really feel. And but that doesn't matter because you're always expanding opportunities when you're giving of yourself. So participate. Is it true that nice guys always finish last? You know, in this world, there's this kind of a tough guy image that people think that they've got to put on or impervious, and therefore they wind up staying pretty much in their own shell because nice guys are vulnerable, the world might think. Even we sometimes can think. Well, in the way of the world, maybe it's true. Sometimes nice guys really do finish last and stay last, but not in God's way. Nice guys always win first. It says in the same chapter in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, "But I say to you, which hear, love your enemies." So even the people that don't like you, you think in your own mind, Do good to them, even those that oppose you, or you might even think hate you. Bless them. They go so far as to be able to bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And you know, when a person, some of us are just inexperienced, we can think that everybody out there is our enemy, and they're not even our enemy, really. It says, give, verse 30, give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away the goods, don't worry about it. And as you would that men should do to you, do to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good only to you, what thank have you then? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive again, like that little boy, I'm never going to see that little boy again. What thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Love as, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. The more you do it to the people who don't like you, you even think, or maybe they don't. God says, I'm going to make it up to you. Now, how long? We know what we like in our instant society that gets everything by way of a cell phone. We were standing in line in front of Krispy Kreme, and there was a guy immediately in front of us. Me and my daughter were waiting. Immediately in front of us, get a cell phone call. No kidding, the guy says, no kidding. You got tickets for that? How much are the tickets? Oh, that's great. So he's checking his watch, and we'd already been in line a couple of minutes, and he's checking his watch. And he says to his girlfriend or wife, he says, we got to go. And what? She says, we got to stay in line. Because Krispy Kreme, you got to stay in line. And, no, we got to go. And so he says, no, we got tickets. To blah, 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 blah. And then they were gone. So that made the line a little shorter. And then the guy right in front of us, it takes 5 minutes or so. Here's Saturday afternoon. Takes 5 minutes to get to the door. You know, just the line takes that long to get to the door to get in. And so this guy had two phone calls. He's got his little kid. He's probably 34. He's got his little kid on his shoulders. He gets two business phone calls. I guess this is his day off. And, you know, everything's got to be so instant. So when am I going to get my reward? I helped that kid. I gave him $1. He only wanted a quarter. How long am I going to have to wait? God says here that... it says, your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. God is that way. He wants us. The reason why he brings us up, Christ brings us up, is the greatest of all the laws of God bringing together to this principle of give, is because that's the way he is. Bottom line, that's the way God is. And he wants us to be like him. Because look at what it says in verse 36. Be you therefore merciful as your Father is also merciful. That's why. So, what happened? Did I back out my pickup and go home and have to put the trash back in the driveway? The guy was standing there at the chain link fence. And right after the kid got with on his bike that I talked to, this guy had his hands just about on the chain link fence, and I didn't know he had come around to that side. And he looks at me and he says, you know, the guy that wouldn't let me in and lock the gate, he says, that was really cool. Come on in here. I'll let you in. And just don't tell anybody that I let you put trash in the pile. So I went in. I got rid of my trash. And I said, who did I make the check out to? Oh, yeah. And he didn't want me to make out the check. I think he was just going to do me a good job. And I said, no. So he said, well, just make it out for 10 and to Dan Obrist, the name of the guy. But, so I didn't have to wait very long, did I? And there is a much bigger lesson than our immediate reward in doing good in giving. Because doing good, giving, as the way in which we need to operate, is the very basis of the nature of God and eternal life in the kingdom of God. Have a great weekend.